Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to the Abundant Life Podcast, and I'm here with my good friend and brother in the faith, Sasso Mendez. Sasso,
hello, what's going on?
What's up?
We just had some good food right now, tried a new place that Ben recommended.
It was not bad.
No, it was good.
And a little Philly cheesesteak and and some wings. But it was a Greek place, so I don't know that I had any expectations for the wings, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't. I just saw wings and like, you know, squirrel. So immediately went to my happy spot.
I mean, I've had the Euros there, and they are good. The Euros are, I'd have to say, they're pretty good. They're one of the best ones I've had in the Valley. I think they're pretty good.
Well, Ben, as we record this, I mean, I can smell my fingers and still smells really good. I can still smell them.
It's wing sauce. There's some wing sauce. I got a little Tabasco there's a little Tabasco on my French fries because I like Tabasco instead of
ketchup. You see a smile on my face as we record this. And Ben is videoing this for the first time.
Yes. Hello, hello.
Our radio faces become live.
Oh man, we're going to see how this goes. We may post a video, we may not. I don't know yet. And then I don't know where we're going to post it. So it might be YouTube. I don't have any ideas on that just yet. But
Ben might pixelate my face for your pleasure.
But yeah, we'll see where it ends up. I ended up getting the camera for some other reasons other than the podcast. But as it so turns out, we're going to end up using it for the podcast because I don't need it for the other reason. And so here we are. Now we're on video. So we'll see how that goes. Hey, yesterday we went to the state fair.
Yeah, good times.
And I thought it was interesting. We had a Navajo taco. So, you know, it's Indian fried bread, which, you know, I love Indian fried bread. And they put some, I think they were pinto beans and some hamburger meat. And then they, you know, lettuce.
Oh, it was ground beef.
Lettuce, tomato. Yeah, ground beef. And I mean, it was okay. I think it would have been better if it had some flavor. I feel like the beans had no flavor. The ground beef had no flavor.
You think you needed salt, Ben?
I mean, at minimum. Ooh, just a little bit of salt, man. I mean,
how come you put no chili on there? You didn't put no Tabasco or something?
I don't know. Did they have some?
They had that jar had like an ounce left in it. Like there wasn't very much.
Yeah, I don't know. After touching everything at the fair, I'm just like, man, I'm hitting the sanitizer there. So I don't know, man. I didn't want to touch anything else. So anyway, I'm kind of a germaphobe when it comes to eating.
I got a confession.
Putting stuff in my mouth.
I have not used the sanitizer since COVID hit.
Oh, really?
I've not used it.
So did you use it prior to that?
Yeah, a little bit, but not very much. So I have not used it since COVID.
Yeah, but you know what? Honestly, I don't trust it, to be honest. But if that's the only option, then I'm going to use it. I mean, you know how I am. Every time we go to the restaurant, first thing I do, I mean, as soon as we order, I hit the bathroom because I go wash my hands. That's
what Nate does too. And I'm like, why didn't you wash your hands before you came, like at home?
I feel like I touch stuff between the time I leave and, you know what I mean? So like, I'm just like, I'm sitting here. So I go wash my hands and I don't touch nothing until
you're like a surgeon like this with the gloves.
You know until my food comes.
Until your food comes. don't touch me.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's kind of weird, Ben, to be honest.
You know, I've been known.
But you have clean hands. I think that's biblical, right? Wash your hands. I don't know if that's in the Maccabees or that's in the Bible. I don't know.
Maybe the priests did back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Wash your hands, cochino. I don't know. I know that's not in there. Maybe that's in the Spanish version.
the Santa Maria version?
Yeah, the Santa Maria version.
Oh, man.
Wash your hands, cochino.
Well, you know what's interesting? So last week, Monday, was National Taco Tuesday. I'm sorry, National Taco Day, not National Taco Tuesday. My point is, because it was Monday, not Tuesday. What? I don't understand. Is this like another mandate from the White House? I don't understand.
I don't know. They messed it up, Ben.
You know, there's a lot of confusion going on up there in the White House.
Yes.
I mean,
they got Taco Tuesday wrong and put it on Monday.
I know. I'm just like, dude, what? You confuse all the taco shops.
Where could you go on a Monday and celebrate National Taco Day?
The taco shops are mad because there's like, dude, I got to give a discount on Monday and Tuesday, bro.
I know. You're killing me. You're killing my small business.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
What are the COVID closures and now the tacos on Monday? Like, what's going on?
2021, bro. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Crazy stuff.
We got to get that changed. We got to run for president and put it on Tuesday.
Oh, man, I tell you. Well, hey, man, fair was fun. I mean, you had some fries.
I got a haystack fries. Kind of a tradition.
This is pretty good, man. It's curly fries.
My mom used to make those. Like, she would, you know, cut the potato and the fresh, you know, like in and out, but better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super good. A haystack of fries. And the best thing here, that Nate wasn't there, so I didn't have to share. Because usually he'll eat a good portion. So my love handles were very happy last night, both of them. Usually only one of them gets fed when Nate's here.
It was pretty good, man. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. And I had the corn dog, which I like at the fair.
There's a Big Daddy corn dog.
Big Daddy. It was good.
And
Kate shared that with me. I didn't eat it by myself.
Kate got the boba, too. She got the matcha.
That boba was $11.
That was a mucho.
I know. She said, I got macho. I go, no, you got mucho.
Mucho dinero.
Mucho dinero for $11 a boba. She's like, Dad, there was no sizes on there, no prices. So why did you buy it?
We got some asada fries. Here's the thing with asada fries, man. And I don't know if it's hard to get them right, man, because I like my fries to be well done. And I feel like most, you know, Mexican places, they undercook their fries in the first place. And then by the time they serve it up with whatever's on top of it, whether it's, you know, asada plus cheese plus whatever, they get soggy.
Because they're tracking a lot though, Ben, because you put a lot of stuff on there. You know what I mean? A lot of wet stuff.
But I just don't like soggy fries, man. Like, I don't know. I just cook them a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. They're nice and crispy.
And they were skimpy on that asada.
They were skimpy on the asada.
It was asa, asada.
They put a lot of nacho cheese on it, though.
Oh, of course.
And
That comes in a big can.
In the guac. But, I mean, for $16, man, I don't know, man. I don't know that it was worth it. I probably
at the fair.
Yeah, but they had the... So I contemplated this, but I couldn't spend the money, dude. The turkey leg with a pound of bacon. $27.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I just couldn't... But then they had the pork belly with bacon-wrapped pork belly on a stick. But that little stick was about 10 inches. I'm just like, dude, how...
And it wasn't even full. I could still see stick. You know what I mean? It's like, seriously. Like, come on.
On the top and bottom.
For $15, I mean, yeah. I don't want to see any stick.
I don't know. I couldn't justify it. But that turkey leg, I mean, I thought about it. I honestly thought about it, but I couldn't justify
it. That's a lot of money. You know what I mean? And I'm always disappointed with the turkey legs. I went to Disney World and had a turkey leg, and I was like, it's like my dad. Was it good? It was okay. It was that rating on the taco, five tacos. It was 2.5. It was
two and a half rating. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, fair food last night was, it was okay. I mean, your fries were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, those were delicious.
Navajo taco, not so good. I mean,
I think we started too early though, Ben. We walked in the fair and that was the first thing we saw and we went on it.
That's true.
We should have waited.
That's true because I did see another stand, another Navajo taco stand. It was a different, you know, whatever vendor or whatever. Maybe they would have had more seasoning in their stuff. I don't know.
We were desperate. I think people were hungry and we just stopped and ate instead of, and that's why I'll wait till the right perfect time to eat food.
Yeah, I think Rebecca was hungry. I think Diane was hungry since we walked in.
As soon as we walked in, like, oh, let's fry, boop, and we're done.
But it did sound good. Like I said, man, I like a good fry.
Didn't even
man.
Take time to look at the Yelp reviews. They just went and ate there. And I looked at the Yelp, like one star. Like, well, why didn't you look at this before?
One taco star.
One taco star, disappointing. We got to have a book come out one of these days about.
We talked about doing a podcast just on food reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you guys want us to do it, we'll do it. We'll put out a show. Top restaurants in the valley. Hopefully we get a sponsorship or something.
Maybe so. But hey man, we got a good episode today. We're gonna be talking about children obeying their parents. So this is taken out of Ephesians 6. But before we get to that, I just want to mention a couple of things here. First of all, if you've not subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Why subscribe to the podcast? Well, a couple of reasons. One, you get notified immediately when we drop a new episode.
Like tomorrow morning.
Right. So you get notified. And you know what I've been doing? So also I've been releasing it a little bit earlier in the morning. And I noticed that when I've done that, we get a few more listens in the morning. And I'm thinking it's because people listen to it on their way to work. Hmm. At least that's my thought. I don't know. So
I know my cousin likes to download it at his home so we get credit. He said, I don't know what difference it makes, but
yeah. It's all good. I mean, as long as it gets listened to.
That's right.
And so the other reason is so that that you have access to all of the episodes quickly on your podcast app. So if you're on Apple, you can do it on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Podcasts. We're on Amazon. We're on Spotify, iHeart, just to name a few platforms. I think we're on Stitcher also. But also want to encourage you to visit our website, abundantlife.fm. And why visit abundantlife.fm? Well, because we put all of our show notes there. So all of our Bible verses. resources, references, and any other resources that we mentioned during the podcast. We end up putting them all on our website. There's also links on the website to other resources. For example, Sasso's blog, his daily devotional is there. So you can click over and subscribe to his devotional, and that way you get that in your email every day. But lots of resources, lots of stuff on there. Maybe we should have our taco reviews on the website.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me a page there.
At some point, with our attorney, you're going to get sued for saying, giving somebody a Navajo taco one star, one taco.
Yeah.
We don't want to get in trouble.
So anyway, visit, man.
Getting offside, sorry.
We just digress on food, I guess. I don't know. It's like squirrel food.
Yeah. Boop, boop.
So visit AbundantLife.fm. Check us out on social media. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. As I mentioned, we are recording this on video. I don't know that we may have a YouTube channel at some point, but we'll figure that out. We'll talk about it on social media or somewhere. And so anyhow,
taco about it. Yep.
That could be one of the shirts. That's a swag.
There you go.
Let's taco about it.
That's good.
Actually, one of my favorite shirts though is Taco Cat. You seen Taco Cat?
I've not.
So you're
familiar. I've heard of Felix, but not Taco the Cat.
Well, no. So Taco Cat. So it's called palindrome? Palindrome? Is that where you take a word and you flip it? And no matter which way you flip it, it says the same thing. So Taco Cat, you flip it, it says Taco Cat. You know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
But, you know.
I only have a 10th grade
like
education.
Race car. Race car is backwards.
Yeah, gotcha. I didn't know the correct term.
I think it's called a palindrome.
Nomenclature from Seth.
Friday nights.
I'm learning new things every day.
Anyway, Taco Cat, Taco About It. We could make some pretty cool shirts. Taco Twins. Taco, Los Tacos, Tacos, Vatos, Locos.
Vatos, Locos, Tacos Forever. Something like anyway, that.
All right, man. Let's get into this. So, Sasso, when you want to kick us off with our key verse and our Webster's 1828.
All right. So we've been talking a lot about we talked about the husbands. We talked about the wives. Now let's talk about the duty of children. And just everybody that listens to this was a child at one point, right? That's if you're an adult, you were a child. You may not remember those days, but you were. So let's go into Ephesians 6, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So let's go into what is in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. What is obey? To comply with the commands, orders, or instructions of a superior, or with the requirements of law, moral, political, or municipal, to do that which is commanded or required, or to forbear doing that which is prohibited. So obedience to doing things that you're told not to do, and obedience to doing things you are told to do. That's not Webster, that's just me clarifying. So honor, the esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation. So you're esteeming your parents highly, in high regard. This is the will of God for your life as a child. This is not Webster, this is me again, sorry. So if a teenager will ask, hey, what is the will of God in my life? The will of God in your life is to obey these three verses here, to obey and honor your parents. Teenagers always ask, hey, what does God want me to do? Well, this, if you don't do this, then you really can't do anything else. You shouldn't worry about anything else until you got this down. This verse is not to be taken lightly, and it carries with it a lifetime importance, and you can do a lot of damage by disobeying these verses as you grow older, even till now as an adult. So I'll let Ben kind of go into the next part of what these verses mean.
Yeah, so there's two commandments in these verses, okay? There's obey, and there's honor your parents. And, you know, one is the action, and the other is sort of what I would call the heart attitude. However, there is also several motivations that are mentioned as well. And we see that children are to obey their parents in the Lord. And also that this method of obeying your parents in the Lord it's the righteous method. At least that's what the scripture says. And one commentary that I was reading, it says this, quote, the child in the home is to be willingly under the authority of parents with obedient submission to them as the agents of the Lord placed over him, obeying parents as if obeying the Lord himself. And I thought that was just very powerful because it also puts the responsibility on the parents. And obviously, if you continue reading in Ephesians, we read, you know, fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. And so this responsibility of being a father or being parents is not to be taken lightly. The parent-child relationship is like two sides to one coin. However, it's exactly how God has designed it. And we know this because in the verse it says that this is right. This is Amen. The righteous method. So honoring your parents has motivation by blessing to live long. The verse is referring back to the promise added from the book of Exodus to the children of Israel. And if we read back in Exodus 20, verse 12, this is part of the Ten Commandments, which this is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And in essence, we can say that the Lord blesses obedience because it pleases him. It pleases the Lord when we're obedient to him.
Absolutely, Ben. And I look at it's the first commandment with promise. And I just, in my notes here, do you desire to live long upon the land? And I mean, I've heard my own daughter say, well, I don't want to live long. And you say that until your time is gone and it's coming up and you really wish one more day, right? And that's the promise that God gives us. And so what does it mean to honor? It's to submit your will to in obedience to what your parents have commanded you to do in all things. And I'm just going to tell a story here. I went to I've said this before, forgive me. But I went to a youth conference when I was probably 25, 26, and I took teens there. I was a teen youth director, whatever the term was. And they had a message, and he was telling the teenagers, hey, when you're a toddler and your parents, you step on your parents' feet because you don't know how to walk. But when you're a teenager, you step on their heart. Mm. And I was like, oh. I mean, I started crying, like I was trying to hide the tears, you know. But it hurt me because I thought back to my teenage years and I thought, man, that's exactly what I did. I stepped on my parents' heart and brought them shame and heartache. And here my dad was a head deacon in the church and I was getting kicked out of school and acting a fool and doing dumb stuff. And just even things within the family that my dad was a Christian and I was doing things where, you know, they would almost ridicule my dad and like, hey, this is how Christians live. You know, look at your son. Just things that were, I'm not even going to get into that, but just they're very shameful and I was not honoring to my parents. And in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You notice here, there's no ask direct to say, well, if you want to do it or if you have time to do it or if you don't have homework to do or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember as a kid thinking that my parents didn't know things. Like they were telling me this, but they didn't know the full picture like I did. They didn't know what it was like to be a kid. They never were a kid like me. They never experienced what I experienced. Like I was a dumb kid, right? Because my parents had it a lot worse than I did. And I would use this in thinking to not obey my parents in certain areas where I believed I knew better than them. There's no footnotes in this saying, hey, if these things apply, no need to obey. There's no exceptions, right? God never doesn't take exception to disobedience. He never, ever, ever will allow
That's
it.
That's right. Yeah.
He says, for this pleases the Lord, so obey your parents in everything. Not when you feel like it, not when you want to, but in everything. Obviously, if they tell you to do something that's morally wicked, then you go to the higher command, better to obey God rather than the man.
Amen.
But if your parents are godly or striving to live for God, they're not going to tell you things that are contrary. Just obey. That came out. Proverbs 6:20-23, it says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Yeah. And this is talking about the law of God, keeping the law of God in the forefront. And if parents are doing their job and teaching their kids things of God, the Bible's telling us, hey, the things that your parents have taught you, your mom, your dad, the instructions they have given you, keep that right in front of you all the time. It's meaning it gives the parents the duty of raising their kids and also with the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's kind of going back to that. But it's their parents raising their kids in the way of the Lord, raising them the right way. And the kids are to keep the commandments and the law they have been taught. Proverbs 13:1, it says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Mm. And Ben, I've been guilty of this many times in my life of just my dad saying something to me and I immediately walking like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, I can't, or just talking under my breath, right? Being stupid. And I remember times when I would say something and my dad would hear me because I was dumb and I said it out loud. You know, my mind was thinking out loud.
Oh, yeah.
And I got corrected. We'll just put it that way. And he would say, you're getting too big for your britches, boy. And that's what happens here, right? We a wise son will hear his father's instruction, yeah. But a scorner heareth not rebuke, and a scorner will pay the price for that. I remember the one time when I was driving the truck and we had three on the tree. Transmission.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And sometimes the linkage would get tangled up in there. And so I got stuck at a gas station one time and I didn't know what to do because I couldn't get it into gear. And so back then you put 25 cents in the phone. And I called my dad. I said, hey, Dad, what do I do? And he said, well, you got to push down and do this and that. And I'm like, that's so easy. It doesn't even make sense. Like, it's not going to work. And I'm like, well, thanks for help. Thanks for trying, Dad. And I was upset. I was upset at him. And I'm sure he's like, man, my son's such an idiot. So I went in there and I tried everything else. And then finally, I'm just going to do it my dad said. Like after 20 minutes of belaboring my own points. And I did it and it, miraculously worked. And I know my dad was probably counting 20 minutes. He's like, okay, now he's going to do it. Okay. And we'll see him home in about 15 minutes. And just the foolishness that you have growing up to think you know better than your parents. And you do not hear your father's instructions. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 1:8-9, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And once again, he's telling you, hey, the instructions of godly parents, keep that always before you. Don't forget it as you go about your day. Always keep that in the forefront of your mind. Matthew 15:4, this is Jesus talking. And he said, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And in those days, they didn't play around, Ben, and we'll probably get into that a little bit in the podcast. That's a very shameful thing when we don't honor the parents that God has given us. There was quite a price to pay for those who cursed their father and mother. And just this week, Kate was, in the end of last week, I think we were eating dinner on a Monday night, and Kate was like, Dad, did you ever get really mad at your parents and flip them off when they turned their back? And I didn't want to answer that. And I was like, yeah, I think I have. You know, I think I have as a little kid gotten really upset. She goes, wow. Don't get mad, but I've done it to you guys too. And I think about it and how wicked that really is, right?
Yeah.
And she apologized. It's like, you know, it's just, and that's what we do. We do these wicked things, and we dishonor, and we shouldn't do those things. It's just as bad as doing it in front of their face. It's God sees it. It's wicked, and we shouldn't do it. I don't do it to my dad now or my mom. It's been a long time. So mom and dad, do forgive me. It's been a long, long time. Obviously, I was a kid. Foolish. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. We are not to forget our parents, but even in this stage of their life. And I know you look out for your parents, and my parents are, thank God, you know, still in a good spot health-wise. Amen. And trying to help them as much as possible if they need it. But we're still to look after them. We're not to neglect them and forget about them and not talk to them and not to be affectionate with them. We're not to mistreat them. And I think of those of that elderly abuse that come from the hands of their own kids, or their kids take their money or steal from them, or they're having to call other people to help them out because the kids strictly won't come. And the Bible says, hey, remember, listen to your father and do not despise your mother when she's old. We got to remember, and honoring our parents, we need to take care of them as well, physically and sometimes monetarily when the time arises.
Amen to that. And you know, it's so important for you to learn obedience, for children, for teenagers, even for adults, to learn obedience. It's super important. It's almost like sometimes I think we look at the word obedience and it's like a dirty word or something. Like it's just, it has like a negative connotation to it, but it's,
we'll do it our whole life.
But yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's rebellion at its best. Obedience is super important. Obedience is good, not because, you know, God will bless it, but because God said it's right. Amen. I mean, it's like you said earlier, Sasso, the obedience is, it's sin, and there's no other way to frame it. And so the scriptures have a lot to say about obedience. Proverbs 7:1-3 says, my son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Tie them about your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. And I think in some instances, I think in the Old Testament, they used to actually literally do this type of stuff. They would actually write commandments and put them on their forehead and have them on their hands and stuff. I mean, I had, when I first moved into this house, they had a, I didn't realize it was a Jewish family that used to live here, but they actually had in the doorway and doorpost, and they had like this little scroll in there, and it was out of, I think, I want to say it was out of Exodus 6 or something like that. But it's interesting. Like
the precepts and laws?
Something like that. And it's interesting because it was written in like Hebrew or some kind of Middle Eastern language. It was, you know, the right to left characters. But I thought it was interesting. But I mean, they used to literally do this. And so, you know, one thing I always like to do when we do a podcast is I like to go into scripture when we have a topic, and I like to look for examples. You know, so for the example, the primary example of obedience, I mean, who else to look to but Jesus?
Amen.
He's our key example of obedience. He was obedient to God the Father during his earthly journey. And we read in Philippians 2:8, it says, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, and even death on a cross." And it's interesting because he had that relationship. I mean, Jesus is God. He's co-equal with the Father, but yet he was submissive to his will. He humbled himself. He was obedient. He willingly went to the cross. We talked about this on Sunday night during when we were doing the Lord's table, about how Jesus chose to willingly go to the cross. Like, I mean, it's just, he's the primary example of obedience and sacrifice and love for his people.
And I think, I mean, obedience just shows humility. It's surrendering your will in obedience. And that's what Jesus showed us in that obedience, that he was humble. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Like, he's willing to go and do whatever the Father asked him. And that's kind of what our attitude needs to be as well, as to be willing to do not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen. You know, a while back I had gone to visit Carl Metzger when he was already pretty sick, and he opened up the scriptures with us, and he took us to this passage in Hebrews, and I thought this was a really interesting passage, and we had talked about it that day, but it's from Hebrews 5:8-10, and it says, "Although he was a son," this speaking of Jesus, "he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." And so again, he learned obedience. So Jesus learned obedience. And then it says, goes on to say that we have eternal salvation to all who obey him. So it's interesting how that all works. It's just interesting to me, but he's the primary example of obedience. We need to be like Jesus. We need to be obedient and submissive. And just like Sasso mentioned, we need to surrender, not only to the obedience, to be obedient to parents for children and teenagers, but for us, even as adults, to be obedient to God the Father. And so in John 14:15, we read a little bit about the motivation, for obedience. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And obedience should come from a heart of love for our Lord, not manipulation to gain God's favor. Because it's at the end of the day, we can't obtain his favor. He loves us with an everlasting love. It's a perfect love. We can't earn it. And this is the difference between conversion and conformity. God doesn't just want people to conform to his rules. He wants you to obey because you've been regenerated, because you're a new man. True salvation and faith, will produce this obedience. It's the fruit of it.
And man, I go back to that verse, John 14:15, and that's the meat and potatoes of our Christianity. Is, man, we can say we love God, but do we keep his commandments? And I think Jesus always got to the point on that, and he would say, "Okay, you said you follow me, then sell all that you have." And they're like, "Well," and then it's not so easy. And that's the same thing. If we say we love him, we prove that by obedience and keeping his commandments. And that's where the line is drawn in the sand. And God said, "Okay, if you love me, then this should take place. So if you don't obey me, then you're showing me that you do not love me."
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, I even think about it with like our kids. You know, the kids always tell me, "Hey, you know, Dad, thank you for this or thank you for that." And I'm like, "Okay, you want to thank me, but show me. Like, you know, show me that you really appreciate it, you know.
Take care of it."
Yeah, take care of it, or, you know, respect it or whatever, respect the rule, whatever it is, you know. we look at Luke 6:43-44, it says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from the thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush." And so again, if we have an orange tree, you're not going to pick lemons off of it. It's just the nature of how fruit works. I mean, if you plant an orange tree, you're going to get oranges. So obedience is the fruit of your salvation.
Amen.
So in other words, does this mean you will never sin? I mean, Paul talks about this in the book of Romans, and so, you know, heaven forbid that we do sin, but we do sin. That's the thing. We are going to sin again, but you will have true conviction, and then you will simply repent and confess. 1 John 1:9.
And man, I could think back to the times that I was faced with temptation. And when I gave into temptation and I committed the sin, I felt horrible afterwards. Felt good in the beginning, horrible afterwards. And I never regretted obedience. Like, if I obeyed, I'm like, wow, that felt... I didn't do what I wanted to do at the moment, but looking back, like, wow, I'm glad. It's a good feeling to obey. It's like, wow, obedience has its own reward. And God places a high value on obedience. It's not something he takes lightly. Yeah. You look at 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And he's talking about Saul here, and Saul was disobedient, and he was trying to make an excuse, and he was not obeying in all things. And he said, does the Lord take pleasure in that, or does he want you strictly to obey? And he wanted him to obey. That's to do exactly what he wanted you to do. And I remember as a kid, and I would tell my dad, well, I didn't think that was wrong. And he said, I told you something to do. There's no thinking involved. It's strictly doing exactly what I told you to do.
True.
It's obedience. It's not, well, I thought this, or I thought you'd be mad. Like, no, I just follow the rules, right? And I learned that in life, when at a job, that not doing that is called insubordination. I've gotten written up for that, right? And there's a consequence for that. And it's not a matter of thinking or putting your own thoughts or will into it. It's strictly saying, God, I will do what you've commanded me to do. I will obey. So let's look at the consequences of disobedience and dishonor in the Bible. Proverbs 13:17, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." I mean, I grew up with a friend that his dad allowed him to swear in front of him. And he would go and he would be like, he would be swearing all, he'd look like a sailor, you know, he's just cussing, all, like he was 14. And his mom was a Christian, his dad was not. And he would laugh at his mom and he would just make fun of her. His mom prayed for him. And he finally came around, but he went through a lot of hardships in his life. Was shot, crashed his bike, did all these crazy things. Wow. That he went through because I believe it was the consequences of despising his mother and just living in that, just living in sin and just saying, nah, whatever, mom, you know, you're a holy roller, you don't know.
Wow.
And there's a consequence for disobedience.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy 27:16, it says, "Cursed be he that sinneth light, dishonors by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." So say, if you dishonor your parents, there is a cursing that comes from that, that you will pay the price for that. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And I think, Ben, it's a shame when a child is a heartache to their mom, is a burden to their father. And I don't know. I don't know if I could live with myself thinking, more importantly, I'm dishonoring my God, but just to bring dishonor to my parents where they stayed up late at night worried about my sin and worried about how I was living. And that's, God says, hey, that ought not to be. We ought to make our parents, we need to honor them in our obedience. And even as adults, I hope my parents have a lot of things they may think about, but I hope I'm not one of them where they're like, man, will this kid turn out or will he ever obey? And I remember my cousin, my aunt likes to remind me, and my cousin passed away at 14, and she said, he always used to say, I hope Sasso turns out right. He just, that kid is just, he's a troublesome kid. And I mean, I was 8 years old at that time. Of course, I was meant for trouble. But God forbid that we ever make, you know, we're ever the heaviness to our parents' heart and the way we act and in the way of our disobedience. May we honor them with obedience.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I've heard lots of, testimonies from moms and dads both, that are just burdened for their kids, even from pastors. Even tonight we were just talking about, a pastor's kid and he's just deep in sin, and, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And, but at the same time, I think back like you and I'm just like, man, I was a little devil myself. And, I look back to my high school years and man, I was bad. I was pretty bad. Just like you said, I stomped my parents' hearts. And so, yeah, it's not something I'm proud of and I'm definitely sorry for. You know, but, you know, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, disobedience, it's flat out sin. And you cannot justify sin. Therefore, you cannot justify disobedience. But where do we see this kind of come from? Where does this disobedience come from? Well, we read in Psalm 51, it says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So we're bent towards disobedience from day one. In fact, disobedience and disrespect, as you mentioned earlier, Sasa, they were taken very seriously in the Old Testament. In fact, I went back and I was reading some verses and I'm just like, wow,
this is
heavy. Yeah. So Exodus 21:15 says, "Whoever strikes his father or mother must surely be put to death." Leviticus 20 verses 9 and 10 says, "If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother, his blood shall be upon him." And you know, physical abuse and dishonor toward parents resulted in capital punishment in the Old Testament. It seems harsh, but I wonder if it was to instill the fear of God in the youth. And I would think back then, maybe it didn't happen quite frequently.
No, I wouldn't imagine so.
And then you think about, well, in today's society, you don't see this fear. There's no regard for parents. There's no regard for authority or for God, for that matter, you know?
I mean, I would even say, like, when there was the COVID, when people were staying home, there was a lot of cases of domestic abuse. Yeah. And it wasn't so much spouses. It was the kids against their parents because they're not used to being a family. And, I mean, in those days, they would have stoned them.
That's crazy.
But it was sad to hear that because people were quarantined, it led to more physical family abuse and basically domestic violence in the home. And what a shame that is to see in our society.
Well, and it's like you talked about just a little bit ago, you know, if a child is left to himself and their obedience is not checked, it will have lifelong consequences affecting relationships with, you know, parents, teachers, employers,
spouses,
and ultimately with God. Amen. You know, so what about the New Testament, though? That's Old Testament, okay? What does the New Testament say? Well, disobedience still has serious consequences. We read in some very sobering verses in the book of Romans. Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 28 through 31 says this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They were full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." And that's quite a list. And disobedient to parents was among that list. I mean, so you're associated with
live in that world
some
right
crazy.
Now.
I mean, yeah, that just describes our society today. One commentary stated that the term "God gave them up" was a judicial term in Greek used for handing over a prisoner to his sentence. When man abandoned God, he will abandon them. And interestingly enough, you know, we're like I said, we're seeing this a lot more in our society. And I feel like over the last few years, and maybe, you know, like you said, even with COVID and all of that, that really kind of magnified it. But again, the Bible's, it's clear that disobedience in children will continue. And not only that, but will continue to grow worse. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And then it says, "Avoid such people." Mm. And I wouldn't consider myself to be, you know, some, you know, great theologian, but just observing the world and where we are today in 2021. I mean, we're October of 2021. It sure feels like as if we're in the days of Noah. I mean, you just look at this list, and every one of these, we've just touched on that list, you know, and it did mention, you know, it says, but understand this, that in the last days, and it gave the list, you know. So I think we're seeing this spirit of rebellion and disobedience much more today than even when, you know, you and I were kids. And when we were kids, I mean, it was still
bad.
It was still pretty bad then. So, and so we know that the Bible condemns rebellion. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of divination or witchcraft. And so it's comparing rebellion with witchcraft. And we know that the spirit of rebellion is hand in hand with the apostasy that we are seeing in the end times, which I believe we are. I don't know. It just seems like it to me. I'm like I said, I'm not a theologian. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But if I just generally observe what's going on in the world today and I, you know, look at it in the light of Scripture,
sure, signs and wonders he gave us.
Sure seems like it. I mean, you know, we see 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and just the first part of it says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, so the day of the Lord, unless the rebellion comes first. So again, that day is referring to the return of Jesus.
Yeah, man, and that's pretty rampant in our lifestyle. We, the two genders that we all grew up with, are expanded to, I don't even know how many, and that is ultimately rebellion against a holy God.
Well, it's the two genders that God created.
Right? That's right. So, yeah, you can't create other genders. No. I was even listening today on the briefing, and it talked about how they were referring to him got pregnant. He delivered a baby. And it's like, what is wrong with our society? It's not, there's no he by... And even biologically, scientists would agree that, yes, a man cannot have a baby. And that's controversial, which it's disobedience to God. It's saying, we don't like what you made us, so we want to be something different. And Ben, I'm not sure there are many things in my life that it would grieve me more than bringing heaviness to the heart of my mother. More so, you know, my God would probably be number one. But I remember, you know, one day... I got suspended from school. I got suspended a lot, but this was my senior year. And I had to go home and tell my mom. And she said, I have a gift for you and I want to give you something. And I said, well, I got something for you, but you probably should go first. And she gave me a Bible. And I just had my name in there and opened the cover and it said, serve the Lord. Wow. And they had the date on there. And she said, well, what do you want to tell me? I said, well, apparently I haven't been reading the gift that you're about to give me because I got suspended from school.
Oh, man.
And I could just see her heart break into a million pieces. And she, I mean, that summer I'd made decisions to live for God. I gave myself to God, dedicated my life to doing what's right. And here I was, she was trying to encourage me in the things of God. And I was discouraging her with my actions. And man, I felt so bad. I could see her just grieve for me. Just I brought dishonor to her heart. And I, you know, more so than my mom, my God, when I sin willfully and bringing dishonor to him. So in closing, Ben, with the obedience here, I like to just, for children out there, where are you today, children? And that includes Ben and I. Ben and I are still children. Our parents, praise the Lord, are still alive.
Yeah.
And we still are children. So where are you today? Are you walking in obedience to the Lord's command? Are you obeying the Heavenly Father? Are you obeying your earthly parents? Are you obeying your parents in all things, kids? Are you honoring them as you should? Are you obeying right away? Are you Are my dad would say like a soda can, psh, you know, like, psh, you make that noise. Are you obeying that way? And that's not honoring to God. Maybe you're already an adult, and does your life honor your parents? And I think even in death, you would know how your parents would want to be honored in the way they live, and to even bring them a bad name when they're deceased by the way you live is not good either. Have you strayed from what is right? Have you strayed from the commandments of God? Do you need to make things right with your parents? Maybe after listening to this podcast, you need to call them and you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to make things right. You need to say, hey, I apologize for stepping on your heart as a teenager, or for not honoring you as an adult, or for going my own way, for being, just so rebellious. I forget. Maybe you need to call them today and just make things right with them. May your days on the earth be long, and may you bring honor to your Heavenly Father in how you obey your earthly one.
And I'll, you know, I'd say on the flip side of that coin of children, you know, we know that, you know, children are not born Christians. We talked about that from Psalm 51. So we know that there's going to be a spirit of rebellion from the time of birth until they repent and confess Jesus. However, as parents, our duty is to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So for children and teenagers, I would just say obedience is difficult prior to salvation. And sometimes it's even difficult after salvation. However, we have a lovingly heavenly Father that disciplines us and corrects us. And so Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 6 says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." And so children, teenager, your parents love you, and they will discipline you, not because they have some vendetta against you, not because they're some big bad wolf or they want to bring pain into your life, but because they love you. And this is the same discipline that God gives us when we get out of line, when we sin and we get disobedient. He addresses us, it says, as sons and daughters. And so that's just a beautiful thing, actually. So my challenge to you is to submit yourself to your parents, who are your authority, and obey your parents, you know, and ultimately obey God, because Amen. Obeying your parents is obeying God.
That's right.
And according to our key verses in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, obeying and honoring your parents will result in what? A blessing. So don't do this because you will be blessed, but because it's the righteous thing to do before the Lord.
Amen.
So that's been a pretty heavy episode. I want to encourage children, teenager, if you have sinned against your parent, confess it, repent and confess it, and then approach your parents and ask them for forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge.
And it's restoration.
And it's, you know? Yeah, it's restoration, and it's a righteous thing to do before the Lord. So I encourage you to do that. Sasu and I have been kids before. We know what it's like to be teenagers and rebellious at that. And so we also know what it's like on the flip side as a parent, and to have maybe a child that's in rebellion or a child that's being disobedient. So we know both sides of that. And so my challenge is just confess it, repent, confess, make it right with your parents and also with the Lord.
Amen.
So I want to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Again, don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram and Twitter. Look for this video. Hopefully, I still don't know where I want to
put it. The camera turned off, so maybe got my face and I just timed out.
Well, I wonder if we ran out of battery.
Yeah, puro feito and turned off.
When did it turn off?
I don't know. It's been gone for a long time. So.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe there will not be a video on this one, but anyhow,
we'll work on that.
Well, I was about to wave to the camera, like, "Hey, thanks for listening." But
well, bye, just in case.
There's nothing to wave to. Yeah. It's turned off. So anyway, thank you again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Until
next
time. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.